Welcome to Business Innovators Radio, featuring industry influencers and trendsetters sharing proven strategies to help you build a better life right now.
Hi, and welcome to another Let's Talk Business Conversation. And on this segment of the show, I have Jackie Brennan, CEO and founder of Workplace Wellbeing, and she's calling in all the way from Happington in Hertfordshire in the lovely sunny UK. Now, Jackie will be discussing the topic of putting wellbeing at the core of the organisation. So, if you're one of the increasing numbers of construction industry leaders and you're out there seeking easy to digest information that addresses some of your business related problems, you might want to down tools, grab a notepad and pen and listen in to what Jackie has to share with us today. Welcome to the show, Jackie.
Thank you, Stuart. It's great to be here.
You are so welcome, my dear. Now, I'm not going to wait a moment longer. It's taken a long time to get you on the show. So let's just jump in with the first question. If you could just share a little bit about your company, the people who you serve, and yeah, the kinds of situations they find themselves in when they come to you for your help.
My company is Workplace Wellbeing. And I believe that thousands actually of construction companies have invested a lot of time, money, and energy into their people. But it still seems as if sickness and absence, you know, burnout, and all those mental health issues aren't decreasing. In fact, and sometimes those numbers are increasing. And it's causing a lot of unnecessary industry pressure, you know, because many construction companies are struggling now to attract and even retain good quality people. But I believe it doesn't have to be that way. And that's why my company, Workplace Wellbeing, we're building the world's most practical wellbeing blueprint for the construction industry to be that bridge between the people and the performance. And we do that, as you've said, by putting those simple wellbeing practices at the core, the very core of every organization. And that empowers the CEOs and their leaders, you know, to easily create a caring and a psychologically safe culture that allows that sustainable growth, success, and innovation where the people thrive and the business thrives. Because I find that, you know, that typically when you ask about, you know, what sort of situations they find themselves in, I think that companies are typically finding that they've put a lot of mental health first aiders in place, but they're not seeing the results that they want or even expected from doing that. And they're also taking doing a lot of one-off initiatives, and again, without either much uptake or much change in the company. And the other way is that sometimes people are just not sure where to start, and that's where we come in.
Okay, that all sounds very interesting, Jackie. So when you think about all of the information that's available online with reference to the construction industry and mental health and well-being issues, there is so much information, and I'm sure if somebody looks it up, they'll find something that says it in one way and then another thing that says keeps the information another way. So there's so many common misconceptions out there. So in your experience as a business consultant, what's one of the most common misconceptions surrounding the mental health and well-being industry?
I believe one very common misconception about it is that it's all to do with mental health is all to do with illness and dealing with a crisis situation. And yes, that is there. That is at one end of the scale, let's say. But in reality, it is about keeping people in the healthy side of things, you know, giving them, being proactive. Because after all, we all have mental health, and it's absolutely no different from physical health. You know, we have that broad range of fitness. Right, so if we look at physical health, you can have a broad range of fitness, you know, from elite athletes like Usain Bolt at one end to down the other end, someone struggling just to do everyday movement. And for me, it's exactly the same as mental health. You know, at one end, you'd have what could be perceived as excellent mental health. So someone say like the Dalai Lama, they're someone who you would say has excellent mental health. And at the other end, potentially someone with poor mental health. And if you look at a lot of them, and especially the athletes and even film stars, you know, like Robin Williams would have been considered as having poor mental health with the depression that he suffered from. And for both those, the physical and the mental health, it's a continuum. You know, that's our continuum, that sliding scale. And we all move up and down that scale throughout the day. So that to me is a misconception that we're, that a lot of it seems to be dealing with just the crisis rather than putting it more onto the proactive side of things as well. And that well-being itself, also more than just the physical and mental health, it's the culture of an organization. And that is often overlooked when we look at mental health and well-being within any organization.
So when it comes to the organizations that you work with, Jackie, and especially referring to the construction industry leaders that you help, what's one of the most common pitfalls or mistakes even that they need to be aware of?
Right. I think that in all honesty, the most common pitfall for me that I've seen is not leading by example or walking the talk, whichever way you want to look at it. That a lot of companies, and this may be controversial, that are ticking the box. The compliance box gets ticked and, right, we've done that. That's all over now. And we can move on. Whereas it is actually an ongoing culture within the organization. And if it's not led from the top, everything falls down. Culture starts at the top, and that's where it needs to come from. And I think there's a great deal of that's either it's just the HR's job or maybe a bit from the health and safety. And it really does need to come right from the top by leading by example.
So if they're not leading by example, not leading from the front and, you know, continually making that mistake, how can they, you know, what can they do to avoid that?
Okay, well it goes back to that, is having that consistent, visible leadership commitment that not only, you know, promotes the culture and training, but also actually makes it sustainable. And for me, that means that health and well-being, it needs to be more than a priority. Because what do we know about priorities, Stuart?
Well, it has to be one of the most important things for me that's relevant to my current situation. So, you know, for me, I'm always very wary about how I set my priorities and the time that I allocate to achieving those priorities.
Indeed. And sometimes, and especially I think in organizations, and maybe even more so the construction industry where things change, you know, that pressures, deadlines and that. And for me, when they put them in the same mental health as one of our priorities, I can sometimes say, well, those priorities can change very quickly. So for me, it needs to be more than a priority. It actually needs to be part of the culture, part of the, you know, that DNA. So actually, that's just what we do around here, no matter what's going on around us. Because it is moving from that, the awareness. So we're all aware of mental health and, you know, we can give talks on it, but it's moving from awareness into action. You know, and from reactive, from dealing with a crisis, waiting for a crisis to happen before we do anything, to taking that preventative action by making it taking the holistic approach. So you are supporting people's physical, mental, and even actually the emotional well-being for people, and creating that culture, you know, where people flourish and they do reach their full potential. Because what I've definitely found is that one, when you look at the research, one thing common to all successful organizations is that they do look after the people who work for them, and they make them feel valued. Because why? Because they understand that it's those very people who are making their business a success. And I think we all want to feel valued. It's one of our basic human needs. And it is, again, research has shown that happy, healthy people, they work better, they function better, and they create those productive organizations. And now, when you look at it, having people with those healthy minds and bodies is actually a necessity now for any organization to succeed.
So what do you feel would be some of the ramifications if an organization doesn't make looking after their people, as you mentioned, as one of the criteria for successful organizations, if they don't make looking after their people as one of their main priorities, what could be the ramifications of that then, Jackie?
Right. So if you look at the construction industry at the moment, they're talking about we need nearly, I think it's 250,000. And this is just even in the UK alone, but it is a global issue. We need 250,000 more construction workers by the year 2026. So that's one thing. The second one is that the as I've said, that the stats on the ramifications of the mental health issues are not decreasing. They are either staying the same or at times increasing. And also that, again, research, if you look at them, you know, the quiet quitting that's going on at the moment, the Microsoft's Great Resignation survey and report, employee expectations are actually changing now. The pandemic certainly opened people's eyes to what work could look like. And employees now are nearly more in charge of where they work and where they want to work, and they are focusing very much on companies who are addressing well-being. And that, to me, if a company wants to get ahead now, that really has to be, they have to put that well-being in at the core of their organization, so that you're not looking at doing one-off initiatives or, you know, reacting to things. If you have that at the core, at the very heart of your organization, that is just who you are as a company, it doesn't matter what the work clouds throw at you or whatever life is throwing at you or your workers or in the industry in general, you will always have that solid foundation. It will attract people. It will help you retain people. It will keep down things like, you know, the claims. And to be honest, for me, it is really just being a decent human being. You know, look after each other, listen to each other, care about each other. And that may sound a bit soft and fluffy to some people, especially within the construction industry. But for me, that's the truth of it.
Now, Jackie, I can't think of any reason why anyone wouldn't want to work with a person as lovely as you are. However, please take a moment and share at least one, let's say, a perceived obstacle that might be preventing the construction industry leaders that you work with from seeking the help of a professional like yourself.
Okay, well, I think I might have covered some of it already, because I think a perceived obstacle is that it's going to take, you know, a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of companies, I think, are not even 100% sure they'll get a return investment. In all honesty, as I said, the cost of not doing something to proactively address well-being actually far outweighs the cost of doing it. And there's proof in the research, the reports that you can read now on that return investment to something like a minimum of five to one return investment on it. But I think the other thing for me is that I think a lot of companies believe that they'll need a lot more resources. And, you know, there's a lot of technology and apps we need to use that are, and yes, certainly there's apps and technology now, but for me, it's keeping it simple. No, really simple. A lot of companies already have all or nearly all the resources they need in-house already. And it's just finding those and pointing them out and pulling them together. It doesn't need much additional stuff, let's say, because I think we make things very complicated and or can make things very complicated. Well, whereas for me, I think it is actually very simple. I mean, for leaders, going out and talking to people, listening to what they're saying, listening to what your employees are saying, you know, showing you care. That, what does that cost? Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. Exactly.
You know, absolutely
exactly.
Nothing. You know, and just getting your culture right. And it's overcoming that it's not complex. It is actually simple. But I think people do see, and they're, that they think time, effort, and cost, when it doesn't have to be. Because one of the things I say is that, listen, if you have employees, people are your greatest asset, and they all have a head, they all have a brain, and if they have that brain, then you can put in the information, the tools, and techniques that person needs to support their own well-being. They don't need anything else apart from their own brain. Giving them those tools. And it doesn't matter then where they work within the organization. You know, they can be a remote worker. They can be someone who doesn't have a laptop or even a mobile phone. They don't need it, because they'll have the tools and the information they need to understand why they do the things they do, what they techniques. If something like throws something at them, they're feeling stressed or anxious, they'll have a technique that they can do to deal with that in the moment. And that, to me, is key.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, our guest today is business consultant Jackie Brenner, and she's here to talk about placing well-being at the core of your organization. Now, with that in mind, Please share an example that really sums up how you've been able to help the construction industry leaders you work with to get the results that they wanted.
Okay, so I'll give you an example of a company I work, and that was about creating the right culture, because I do believe that when people say well-being, they think of, you know, the physical and mental well-being, whereas well-being also includes, to me, the culture. So creating the right culture and empowering and equipping people. So this company I worked with were wanting to increase their engagement with their employees and get buy-in, because that is another thing that keeps coming up, is we're not getting the buy-in from our employees. And so for this company, we started actually with their vision, the company vision and their values, which they didn't have. You know, a lot of companies, yes, the larger ones will certainly have vision and values, but to be honest, quite a lot of time, that was just nice words on the wall. This one was really to get involved the employees. So that's what we did. We set up a simple survey. We collected a lot of information from every employee in the company. We sorted it and categorized it. And then we ran workshops with getting in a wide cross-section of employees to discuss, you know, the information from the survey, the input, and then for them to work with it and come up, where were the common themes? So if we asked the company, you know, what, when you think about your company, what values come to mind? So we had a raft of those. They went through them, came up with a common theme. So we ended up with this set of values. The company wanted 5 values. So they came up with these 5, which, yeah, great. No, the words integrity and trust, things like that. But what does that actually mean for that specific company? Because trust and integrity can mean different things to different people, as an example. So those the employees themselves, they had the discussions, and they came up with a short, you know, one sentence as to what that actually meant for them in this company. And because people, you know, have been part of the process, they had that what we call skin in the game. They felt part of the solution. So that became, you know, part of them. They were part of that culture then. And once we'd done that, then we ran some more workshops. We give employees, as I've said before, the information, tools, techniques that they needed to help them deal with any situations that come up. And we also had members of the leadership team in those workshops, not sitting on the side, just watching and taking part, but actually in amongst it and not being a leader, just being, you know, one of the guys that were sitting there. And there were some great outcomes from it. I mean, this was about, you know, and people always are looking, though, for the stats and giving the numbers and that word. A lot of the time, and especially around culture, it's how it feels when you walk into a company. You can feel it. You can feel what a good culture is or if it's a bad culture when you walk in. And one of the things we found in this company was the increase in self-esteem and confidence from the employees. They had a sense of being in control. And that in itself meant that those people naturally wanted to do more. They put their hands up for doing more. They became more visible to leaders. So one example, there was one of the coaches, and he was doing helping us with the workshops and presenting. He was actually promoted through and ended up as head of HR for that company. He would never have been seen otherwise. It was that increase in communication and engagement, you know, between the employees and the leaders. And it was also an increase in client engagement and actually praise from the regulatory bodies about what we were doing. Because when they came onto site, we could give them examples of that engagement and that communication. So from a culture point of view, that was a big win, big win.
So Jackie, first of all, thank you for sharing that result. It was really interesting to hear how you went about bringing that desired outcome for that particular client. But let me ask you this. Nobody goes to bed at night and then wakes up in the morning and all of a sudden thinks, you know something, I'm going to be a business consultant in the construction industry. You know, there's usually a long meandering path to, you know, where one finds themselves today. So yeah. With that said then, Jackie, what was it that inspired you or led you to specialize in the construction industry as a business consultant?
Okay. Well,
do I need to go and get a cup of tea and make myself some toast or something?
You probably do. Yeah, you do. Are you
getting coffee? I am.
Yeah. The easy answer would be that I worked in the construction industry for 39 years, you know, and I qualified in a wide range of holistic therapies, and I decided to combine the both. But as we know, things are much deeper than that. So let me take you back in a little journey through my life. So I'm the second oldest of six children. I have an older sister and four younger brothers. But when I was four, my brother John died. The day before my fifth birthday, my brother Mark died. And when I was 12, my sister Anne died. When I was 22, my brother Shane died. I went from five siblings to one. My parents went from six children to just two, me and my youngest brother Owen. Now, I don't know how other families would deal with such terrible losses, but our family, we just didn't talk about it. No one mentioned their names, not a single word was spoken about them. And it was after my sister died when I was 12 that for some reason I unconsciously decided that I had to be this perfect child. You know, before her death, I was a chatty, outgoing, smiley, happy child. But afterwards, I kept very quiet, you know, kept myself to myself. I always did what I was told. I never spoke back. And I set myself extremely high standards at school. I always had to be first in my class. But on the other side, I also never told anyone how I was feeling. And I rarely showed any emotion. And I got very good at doing that because I spent over 30 years continuing to suppress any emotions that I was feeling. And on top of that, I was seeking to achieve perfection everywhere, even at the expense of my health and actually living my life. And there was, to be honest, there was probably some survivor guilt in there as well. I mean, why had I lived when they had all died? And surely there had to be a purpose there. And at the time, my inner voice was telling me that that was to be perfect. I had to be perfect. And the thing is that we all have that inner voice. And if anyone's sitting there thinking, what inner voice? What is she talking about? That one. Now, I wasn't aware of it at the time, yeah. But it certainly had a major influence on my performance at work. Because I wasn't aware of it, but those things were affecting me. But one thing about it was that all that striving for perfection, it did have some rewards because I got promotion after promotion. And the more success I had at work, the more that actually became my identity. And as I said, you know, I worked in the construction industry. And I'd say anybody who works in the construction industry knows that typically, and especially if you're on site, you're working at top speed, you're meeting tight deadlines, and everything seemed to be needed yesterday. There's that saying, you know, that one, stop and smell the coffee. Well, never applied to me, Stuart. I didn't have time to smell the coffee, never mind stop. I was just grabbing it and keep on walking, or actually in my case, it was always running to get to the next thing. For me, I'll give you an example. A typical day for me started at 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, so I could be on the road, I'd avoid the rush hour traffic. I lived on coffee most mornings, missed lunch a lot of the time. And I'd stay late at work, you know, carry on working, or I tried to convince myself it was to avoid the evening traffic. So the earliest I got home was say 8 o'clock at night. And by that stage, the last thing I wanted to do was even think about cooking for myself. So dinner for me, toast, crisps, and as it was evening after all, a glass or maybe two of wine. So I was working a minimum now. My basic week was 70 hours a week, usually more with weekend working and even more late nights. But that was just normal. I didn't see anything wrong with that because that's how I'd live. And that's how I lived for the last 8 years of my construction career. But the cost was high. I rarely saw my family and friends. Social life, the TV. And I missed out on so much. And I'll give an example of one that really stands out for me because I missed out on a trip of a lifetime. I took my work first and I missed out on the first half of a planned road trip on the Alaskan Highway from Canada to Anchorage and back. Me and my partner, we were working in Canada at the time. And I changed our plan. So my partner, he drove the first leg of that journey on his own and met me in Anchorage where I'd flown in to join him for the drive back after I'd done my work thing. So I missed out on the whole first leg of that journey. And to be honest, that was bad enough. But what I really missed out on, a spectacular display of the Northern Lights.
Oh, girl.
One thing that I've been for years. My partner spent the whole night on top of a hill outside of Fairbanks in Alaska, watching and photographing a wonderful display. Now, he said, standing there, watching those first glimmers appear in the dark sky, and then to be almost surrounded by the stunning colours as they danced across the sky for hours, almost brought tears to his eyes. Well, it certainly brought tears to mine.
Bringing tears to mine, too.
That was the only time those lights appeared on that trip. And I was absolutely gutted. But, as I say, putting work first and always being busy just seemed to be perfectly normal for me. And then I read this article. I picked up a magazine. I read this article. And it was saying things like, are you optimistic and disciplined and flexible, motivated, and helpful and seeking opportunities? And I thought, oh, God, yes, that's me. That's definitely me. And I thought, oh, and seemingly, apparently, those are some of the characteristics of a high achiever. And I thought, oh, gosh, patted myself in the back. And I thought I felt fairly smug with myself, to be honest. Then I read on, learned some more about those high achievers. They often suffer from perfectionism and imposter syndrome, fear of failure and a bit of self-doubt thrown in. And they also sacrifice time with family and friends. They don't socialize with their colleagues and they ignore their personal needs in order to get the job done. And I thought, well, oh dear, yes, I also agree.
Killing me softly with this song.
And I certainly wasn't feeling smug to that point. Because why? Because those are some of the signs of stress and burnout. But like I said, no, that was just everyday life for me. That was my normal. But actually seeing it there in black and white, it really hit home and it hit hard. Now, the other thing is that, and I'm sure most of us know that a certain amount of stress is good for the body. You know, it can help motivate us. But to me, it's a bit like a pressure cooker. You know, everything's fine while that pressure is kept at a certain point. If it increases and you aren't able to, or you don't know how to release the pressure, or maybe you don't even realize it's increasing with me, then the whole thing can blow up. And for me, that's the point when someone goes off with stress or burnout, or goes to a competitor, leaves the industry, or maybe completely checks out of life altogether. And I left the industry. I needed that space to get myself together. When I realized I was burnt out and looked back, it was only then that I finally saw that impact on my life and the personal cost. And the thing is, I know I'm not the only one. And that's when I knew I needed to do what I'm doing now.
Gotcha. What an amazing story. I feel privileged just listening to that journey. It's just so so rich, and I'm kind of lost for words, to be honest. It's an amazing story of transformation. I love it. And it's kind of a good segue into my next question for you, Jackie. So, and it's a bit of a question and a task at the same time, because I'd just like you to imagine it's a Monday morning and the alarm goes off. I don't know whether you use an alarm or not, or whether you wake up naturally, but let's just say the alarm goes off. It's 6 o'clock in the morning. It's freezing cold outside. It's a typical British winter morning and it's foggy. You can't see your hand in front of your face. And you have a full day's work ahead of you, helping the CEOs, the HR directors and the marketing directors that you work with within the construction industry, helping them with their problems. Now, on a day like that, when you wake up, how does Jackie feel? And as you go out and you start helping these people, what does it give you? What do you get from all of it? How do you feel? What does it give you?
Okay, how do I feel? When I look back at my life that I've just told you there, if I had known what I know now back then, I do often wonder how much better my life would have been. I have a career, but how much better could it have been and could I have been knowing what I know now? And that is what drives me now, is getting up in the morning is absolutely no effort now, because the stress is gone. I'm out there helping people. So it doesn't matter what the weather's like or anything. Being able to see that transformation in people, being able to help a company achieve that, you know, that to show their employees that they care about them, that they feel valued, that I could potentially be giving people back their life. And that includes the CEOs, you know, that the leaders themselves, we all need that help. We all need that support. And I think a lot of the time leaders get sort of left behind. And it's all that, as we know, the further up the tree you go, actually the lonelier it gets. So even the leaders having some tools and information and techniques to be able to deal with what life's throwing at them is a positive. So I feel privileged. And I actually do feel it's my duty now to do it as well. You know, I've got the experience within the construction industry. I've got the skills in a host of complementary therapies, let's say, from, and this might scare some people off, from the neuro-linguistic programming, hypnosis, breathing exercises. Oh, they're something very, very simple that people can do every day that will give them great benefits. But I've got a host of different techniques that I can share with people, giving them the information on how their brain works. I absolutely love everything to do with the brain and the mind. I've been able to explain that in a very simple way. Because I joke, you know, I've said before about people who talk about having apps and various techniques. I demonstrate that just by using my two hands. Very simple ways to learn it. And it's that simplicity that I think is also of great benefit to people. Anybody can understand it. So getting up, I feel good now. And it does give me that sense of achievement, a sense of purpose, a sense of that I'm doing something good. And I think that to me, I mean, for the last 8 years in my construction career, I felt as if I was hitting my head off a wall. You know, I had a lot of responsibility and maybe not the authority that goes with it. Whereas now, having seen it from that side, I think that is the key for me, is having seen that bit and felt that way. You know, I can go into a company and you can almost feel it yourself when you go into a company, how things are. And I think that's one of my, I'll say it for myself, it's one of my key strengths. I have a very good intuition, very good gut feeling. And I know, having been there and done it, I know where those problem areas can hide, let's say.
Okay, Jackie, thanks for sharing that with us. Unfortunately, I've only got one last question for you. I know, I could sit here and just talk with you all day about this. It's just so interesting. One thing I do know what you and I have in common is we're both recovering perfectionists. So that's
yeah,
that. I've learned you today. So anyway, if there's somebody out there who wants to know more about creating a sustainable, caring culture where well-being is placed at the core of the organization, how can they connect with you? One, and most importantly, what happens when they do reach out to you? And I say most importantly, because people want to know. I mean, you hear a lot of interviews and say, oh, this is my number, this is my website, give me a call, visit, blah, blah, blah. But nobody knows what's behind that. Are they going to be sold? You know, are you going to drag them to the back of your office and hit them over the head with a Fred Flintstone club and take all their money out of their wallet? Describe your process. What happens when, first of all, how people can get hold of you, and then what happens when they do?
Okay, so best way to get hold of me is at www.contactjackie.com. And that will give you, you know, emails, phone, LinkedIn, various contacts. So that's the place to go to get hold of me. But here is the thing. There's absolutely no pressure. There is no hard sell, and there's no obligation. So for me, it's if someone wants to understand more, wants to know how it could work, they want to see, I mean, the other one is, you know, would we be a good fit? You know, they might not like me, I might not like them. So that to me is what it is. It's having that conversation at the start. And I did it, and again, this might sound a bit woo and a bit soft and fluffy for some people, but I see it as, you know, you hear some people say, there will be a partner with you in your business. To me, I'm your friend. I'm the person that is there to, with no judgment, can give you some advice, can see the things that you can't see, but someone also who won't take offense if you don't take the advice and you don't want to take that advice. No obligation. Have a chat. Don't like it? Fine. That's fine by me. The thing that is key for me is that well-being is placed at the core of every organization, that people are taken care of. They are made to feel valued, and we get the horrendous stats down that we are saving lives. If that's me that's doing that for the company, great. If not, no problem, as long as the company's doing it. As long as we get someone in, doesn't have to be me, that's fine.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, that is all we have time for today. Again, we have been listening to business consultant Jackie Brennan. Thank you so much for sharing so generously with us today, Jackie. You have certainly demonstrated that you are a true educator and advocate for the construction industry's success. So thank you.
Thank you, Stuart. Been a pleasure.
You are so welcome, my dear. And I'd also like to take a moment and say a big thank you to you. Yes, our listener. Because without you, we'd be sat here twiddling our thumbs and not having anybody to talk to. So thank you for taking the time out of your busy day and for joining us on what I can only describe as an insightful and informative conversation with leading business consultant Jackie Brennan. Now, whether you give her a call or visit her website or look her up on LinkedIn, regardless of what you do, I'm sure that you're going to be in the right place to get started. So again, my name is Stuart Andrew Alexander, and we'll be back shortly with some more leading business professionals in this, our series of Let's Talk Business Conversations. So until then, take care, have a great day, and remember, whoever educates wins.
Thanks for listening to Business Innovators Radio. To hear all episodes featuring leading industry influencers and trendsetters, visit us online at businessinnovatorsradio.com today.